Cardinals. More holiday fun, less holiday hassles.
The Cardinals got their big bat. Are they done, or is there more on the way at the winter meetings? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Marcelo's in the center field. That's deep. It's Ciarte back at the wall. Gone! 37 for Ozuna. Man, oh man, is he in a season.
And his next season is going to come in St. Louis. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann. We'll get you up till 7 o'clock tonight. Plenty to get to on the program today. We're going to catch up, as we do every Wednesday, with the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima. You'll hear from him coming up at the bottom of the hour. 6 o'clock showdown on the way tonight as well. Bad news for our fantasy football listeners out there and players. Tristan Cockcroft, who usually joins us courtesy of Imon Communications every Wednesday, is in meetings in Bristol at ESPN headquarters today. Said it's going to be really difficult to get his segment on with us this week, so we're going to talk with Tristan tomorrow. But Alex and I are going to take a crack at answering your fantasy football questions. Oh, that has train wreck written all over it. Stick around for that. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to talk plenty of baseball today. Lots of rumors out there about the Cubs. The Cardinals may or may not be done yet. The Twins made what I thought was a very interesting but solid signing with Michael Pineda, the former Yankees right-hander. If you like hot stove talk, and I'm not talking about the stuffing, this is the place to be. Stuffing, by the way, has carbs in it. Alex was going to try to copy my diet. You don't need to lose any weight.
No, I just wanted to stay at a regular weight, and you told me that there was this way to eat delicious food.
Yeah, you get
and
so tired
weight.
Of it, though. You get so tired of it.
I just wanted to take a crack at it, but it turns out that I was way off.
A long list of felonies that I would commit just to be able to enjoy bread again, but that's neither here nor there. 319-366-1600.
Is there a cauliflower bread?
The pizza crust thing. I still haven't tried that.
People love it. People
I'm out.
Swear by it.
I'm out on the cauliflower. I can't come to grips with that. Lots to get to today. We are going to talk plenty of baseball. More All-American honors for Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson. Former Cyclone Monte Morris made his NBA debut last night with the Denver Nuggets. Didn't last very long. He's already back in the G League. A lot going on. And some NFL talk today as well. Coming up later on in the program, we're going to take a dive into what the NFL is going to look like in 5 years, because Commissioner Roger Goodell came out today and said he anticipates retiring at the end of his five-year contract, the new contract that was just awarded to him. What is that league, which up until this year was wildly popular, going to look like at the end of Roger Goodell's tenure? Lots to get to. I want to start with baseball, though, because I get accused of not giving the St. Louis Cardinals their due on this program, which I would argue is not necessarily the case. They went out and got a big bat in Marcelo Ozuna from the Marlins, and they may not be done yet, according to multiple reports. Josh Donaldson's name's coming up, the third baseman for the Blue Jays. Evan Longoria plays third base for the Tampa Bay Rays. A couple other options that could be on the table. And it sounds as if Stephen Piscotty and Randall Grichuk will both eventually be moved, and that the Cardinals are going to go into the 2018 season with an outfield that looks something like this. Dexter Fowler in center, Tommy Pham in right, and Marcelo Ozuna now in left field. I didn't realize Ozuna had the season that he did last year. Kind of a sneaky good 37 home run, 124 runs driven in campaign, because everybody was talking about Giancarlo Stanton. Yes. and no one was paying any attention to Ozuna. And oh, by the way, there's a third guy in Miami who is highly coveted in Christian Yelich, who has 5 years of team control. It's going to make him extremely coveted. Ozuna only has two. And the Marlins have previously said they're not going to move Yelich. And now Yelich, I believe through some back channels, is saying, wait a minute.
Why
get
would he
me
stay?
Off yeah. of the island.
Yes.
I don't want to stick around here. He was very close with Ozuna, very close with Stanton. Two of his best friends have been traded. It leads us to our poll question today at KGYNradio.com. It's so early into his tenure, too, but is what Derek Jeter is doing with the Marlins tarnishing his legacy? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Interesting discussion because, as people have pointed out, Jeter only owns about 4% of the Marlins, but this ownership group has made the effort, or he's been the driving force, to make him the face of baseball operations. So people say, why is Jeter getting all the credit? Why is Jeter getting all the criticism? It's because Jeter is the guy who's out front.
He's calling the shots.
So
for
Jeter's
the most part,
at the
isn't he?
Yeah, Jeter's at the Miami Heat game the other night at the Dolphins game, Monday night game, when the winter meetings are going on in Orlando and people are criticizing him for that. He gets rid of Stanton, people are criticizing him for that. Now you've got the Ozuna trade today, which still waiting for all of the names. Sandy Alcantara is one of the top pitching prospects in the Cardinals organization. You can't say the top because Alex Reyes technically still qualifies as a prospect. He missed all of last year with Tommy John surgery and the recovery, so he's their top pitching prospect. Alcantara was number three, maybe behind Reyes and Jack Flaherty. But Alcantara was the guy that they were talking to the Cardinals about in the Stanton deal, which, if you recall, Stanton did not waive his no-trade clause to St. Louis. So in the end, it looks like the Marlins are going to get their guy from the Cardinals. It's just not going to bring back Giancarlo Stanton. It's going to bring back the other big bat. The Cubs are said to be talking to the Indians about Danny Salazar, one of their starting pitchers, a deal that may or may not include Jason Kipnis, who's Cleveland's second baseman, which would be a salary dump on the Indians' part. Ian Happ's name is coming up. The looming specter of Kyle Schwarber is out there as well. Sounds as if the Cubs have moved on from Chris Archer and the Rays and are now focusing their attention perhaps on Danny Salazar of the Indians. The winter meetings are wrapping up in Orlando. Technically, they come to a close tomorrow with the Rule 5 draft, which you have to be a really hardcore baseball nerd to care about the Rule 5 draft, a.k.a. I guarantee you it's going to be the first thing that I look at on my phone when I wake up tomorrow. I will look up the results of the Rule 5 draft, and not just the Major League. There are three stages, the AAA and the AA portion of the Rule 5 draft, which are those guys hardly ever even sniff the Major Leagues. But I like to sift through, see former Cedar Rapids Colonels, guys that have come through the Midwest League. And speaking of the Colonels, I mentioned this yesterday on the program. We're going to have Toby Gardenhire on as soon as we can. Toby Gardenhire, the son of Ron Gardenhire, the skipper of the Detroit Tigers, former Twins manager. Everybody knows that Toby Gardenhire is going to be the manager of the Colonels, but the Twins have not officially announced their minor league hires and their minor league staffs for 2018 yet. And until they announce it, he doesn't or is not able to come onto the show. So,
I think it'd be fun to have a hypothetical interview with Toby Gardenhire. Just speak in all hypotheticals.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is,
if you become the manager of the Colonels,
his dad,
what are you most excited about?
Had a media availability today at the winter meetings in Orlando, and somebody asked him about, they're writing about it on MLB.com, saying, Toby Gardenhire, manager of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Ron Gardenhire said his hair is probably going to fall out or turn gray and or fall out, just as it did for him as a manager. That was the advice that he offered his son as he begins his managerial career. We're going to have him on the program just as soon as that hire becomes official. Speaking of the Colonels, they have set their date for their hot stove banquet. It's coming up in about a month. It is January 17th. Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, a couple guys, former Colonels, who made their big league debuts with the Twins last year, are going to be part of the caravan. The as-yet-to-be-announced Colonels manager is expected to be at the winter caravan. And I heard a rumor the other day, I'm a little disappointed in this, but I heard a rumor the other day that the former Colonels manager is in town right now and hasn't reached out. You know what?
That hurts.
I'm just going to say this right now, Tommy, if you're listening.
Where does Jersey go? It's gone.
No, we got to get everything redecorated here. But Tommy, if you're listening to us right now, you've still got time to make good on that batting practice pledge. Alex and I will strap on the batting gloves in the middle of December, probably get some stingers. It's probably not going to feel that great to get some cuts in 25-degree weather, but there was no stipulation that the batting practice session had to take place in the summertime. So that's the latest on the Colonels front. By the way, if you want to pick up tickets to the Hot Stove Banquet, you can check out colonels.com, and that's always a great night. There's no basketball to talk about this week with Iowa and Iowa State because it's finals week, and so you've got the Hy-Vee Classic coming up on Saturday. We touched yesterday very briefly about the discussion as to whether or not Connor McCaffrey will ultimately wind up redshirting. Fran McCaffrey said that it's not his decision. It's in the hands of the team's medical staff at this point. He's still coming back from the mononucleosis that put him in the hospital down in the Cayman Islands, and still not quite there strength-wise and stamina-wise. He did play against Southern University, but the redshirt rules are confusing, and he can play in as many as 10 games in the first half of the season and not redshirt. We'll talk a little baseball coming up, a little basketball coming up in just a bit, but I want to stick with the Cardinals here. And you tell me, what's the next step for the Cardinals? I know they're talking about a deal with the A's, which probably looks like it's going to involve Stephen Piscotty. It doesn't look like the return is going to be all that great there. But the idea of adding another big bat to that lineup, because you throw Josh Donaldson's name around, you throw Evan Longoria's name around, it seems to me the intent here is they want to add two big bats. They added one in Ozuna, and it looks like they're not done yet.
Yeah, they want to add two, and I've even heard talk about maybe a third, but first things first, you think that they have to add somebody that can play third base or shortstop, because I think that Paul DeJong is a guy who they'll be okay with him playing shortstop if they can find a guy like Donaldson or Longoria who plays third. But if they get a guy like Manny Machado, which we'll see, I'm not going to hold my breath on that front, they will have no problem moving DeJong back over to his normal position of third base. So I think the outfield is shored up. They have a guy now in the middle of the lineup with some pop in Marcell Ozuna, who plays apparently gold glove caliber defense in left field. So the outfield is good. They need to add another corner infielder, and possibly a starter and a closer. So there are some holes on this team. I think a lot of people saw that coming into this offseason. They wanted to make a big-time splash in free agency. They've made a little bit of one here by adding a silver slugger in Marcell Ozuna, but they still have a long way to go before they're able to kind of get back in the picture as far as an NL Central championship caliber team.
A little bit of college football news, and we were talking about this article in the office before we hit the airwaves today. Sports Illustrated has released its projections, the expert picks for all of the bowl games in 2017. They've got a panel of seven people picking the winner of each game. And the results were exactly the same for Iowa and Iowa State, with one big difference. Six of the seven panelists have the Hawkeyes beating Boston College in the Pinstripe Bowl. And six of the seven panelists have Iowa State losing to Memphis in the Pinstripe Bowl. So I thought maybe there'd be a little bit more division among... You got seven people. That's a pretty wide array of opinions.
And those are two fairly toss-up games. Those are within 5 points either way as far as Las Vegas is concerned.
Yeah, I would think so. But apparently the panel says, no, Iowa's going to win. And Memphis is going to win. So why even play the games, right? I kid, of course. But... the Hawkeyes are a favorite. I think the last time I looked, it was a 3.5-point favorite over Boston College. And then Iowa State's essentially playing a road game. This is a home game for Memphis at Memphis's home stadium in Memphis and everything that you've got to go up against that. So we'll wait and see and see how the games play out. But also, didn't realize this, but Iowa is going to be the first Big Ten team to play a bowl game this year. They kick off at 4:15 on the 27th. There is not a Big Ten representative in the Quick Lane Bowl, nor is there a Big Ten representative in the other bowl that is
would
often
be the Heart of Dallas.
The Heart of Dallas Bowl, which is sometimes occupied by a Big Ten team.
But Todd, Bowl Mania is about ready to kick off on Saturday, and we're going to pick those games.
We're picking. There are five bowl games. Saturday. Carl Ernie's Pick 6 coming up at about 3:45 on Friday's Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes.
So we have...
the RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
So you usually don't like pointing out the sponsors, but you love the RNL Carriers.
Yeah, I don't know. Just a random trucking company. Let's slap our name on the... slap our name on a bowl game. It's getting to the point where
the KGYM Bowl.
It doesn't take much to have a bowl game. And why not? If you can have a bowl game in New York City and other freezing cold, miserable destinations, can't you have one at Kinnick Stadium?
And we have an end too.
The Wave Bowl. Everybody loves the Wave, right? There you go. Call it the Wave Bowl.
We have an in because you brought up yesterday that ESPN has bought out a lot of the lower tier bowl games.
They own 13 of them.
I mean, how much would it actually cost for us to sponsor that?
Probably more than people would be willing to spend in the building, would be my guess. 4:22, Kyle's going to have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Keep voting in the poll question at KGYMradio.com. More Hot Stove Baseball talk on the way. Going to get to a number of other topics today, including the NFL. Gary Rima coming up at the bottom of the hour, and... it's either a good idea or a bad idea, but we're going to take a stab ourselves at answering some of your fantasy football questions today. 319-366-1600, that is the Hertin and Stocker text line. Also on the line today, at some point, we've got a pair of tickets to see MMA action at the U.S. Cellular Center in downtown Cedar Rapids. That's coming up later this month. 10 bouts in all. Details to come on the other end of this quick timeout. 423, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. More of the Todd Brellekamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Hi, I'm Linda Hass. Is your company's current payroll provider fumbling the ball?
Ooh.
It's time for help from the bench.
I know.
Switch to Future Systems, Inc., the most trusted payroll company in the corridor. From one employee to thousands of employees, Future Systems has the experience and expertise to save you time and money. Call in the team from Future Systems today at 1-800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
Great gift ideas come from Iowa Book with one-of-a-kind gifts from your one-of-a-kind bookstore. The feel-good story this football season is now carried with the Wave T-shirt. Iowa Book has the Wave T-shirts for $9.99 and is still able to share a portion of the sale with the Iowa Children's Hospital. Iowa Book also offers a postal substation and free gift wrap. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Napa Know-How. Screwdrivers are like socks. Somehow the one you need is always missing. Lucky for you, Napa has a 26-piece screwdriver set on sale for just $19.99. Get it to replace lost tools or upgrade your current set for your neighbor to borrow and never return. Again, 26 screwdrivers for just $19.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 12/31/17.
I'm back. That little voice inside your head. Wouldn't it be great to get all your clients' gifts mailed out and save money? Well, right now, it's buy two, get one free on Office Depot Office Max branded mailing and shipping supplies. Plus 30% off all FedEx services, even international shipping. Just see an Office Depot Office Max associate for your 30% off coupon. A gift for them, a gift for you.
Taking care of business.
Offer ends 12/16. Valid in store only. See coupon for details.
425, do we have a verdict? Kyle did a little research during the break. How much money does it cost to sponsor a bowl game typically?
Yes, Kyle and our KGYM research team came up with a figure right around $25 to $30 million in order for somebody to sponsor.
Yeah, I don't think we've got that laying around. Somebody on the text line says, how about we could sponsor the Donkey Bowl? Be the first bowl game to incorporate football being played on donkeys. That's a piggyback of, not to bring another animal into the conversation, but a piggyback of yesterday's conversation about donkey basketball, in which I've never seen Alex more terrified than at the prospect of making him play donkey basketball.
No, actually, I never have been more terrified. I thought someone was breaking into my apartment one time, and I still wasn't as terrified.
Were they on the back of a donkey while breaking
in?
No,
it was just a big-time gust of wind. But still, I was terrified, but not quite as terrified as I was at the thought of playing donkey basketball. 76-69 thinks that we should have the bowl game at the Unidome.
Yeah, there you go. With Gary Rima, on the call.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to know why the Ball brothers are going to play in Lithuania. Why couldn't we have brought them to Eastern Iowa? Gary owns a basketball team. Why couldn't we have brought the Ball brothers and LeVar to Eastern Iowa? I think that would have been a good use of his resources with the Cedar Valley Court Kings. And I'm going to ask Gary about this coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Gary owns a basketball team and a platform for LeVar Ball to reach his listeners.
Exactly.
Seems like a no-brainer.
The LeVar Ball show. Or LeVar could do the games. He could be the play-by-play voice. Not that that would be kosher with Gary.
I just got an image in my head of Gary wearing all Big Baller Brand clothing, and I can't get it out of my head. Sorry about that.
We do traditionally, I was going to say, we do a gift exchange here at KGYM among the sports staff, and I'm thinking about just going all Big Baller Brand for everybody. See Mark Dukes in a Big Baller Brand flat billed cap? I think it'd be a good look. It's not a good look if we miss our break, so we got to send it over to Kyle. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa's Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson cemented themselves today as maybe the best defensive duo to come through the University of Iowa. The American Football Coaches Association named them first-team All-Americans, making it a clean sweep across all five major outlets and making them both unanimous All-Americans. It's Iowa's first pair of unanimous All-Americans since Chuck Long and Larry Station in 1985, and the Hawkeyes have actually now produced four in the last 4 years, including Desmond King and Brandon Scherf. Former Iowa State point guard Monte Morris made his NBA debut last night with his mother in attendance in Detroit. He made one assist with no turnovers in his 3 minutes, but today was sent back to the Rio Grande Valley Vipers of the G League. The Gazette released its second poll of the boys' high school basketball season. Iowa City West is the top-ranked team in Class 4A, with Cedar Rapids Prairie 6th. Cedar Rapids Xavier is number 1 in Class 3A, Western Christian in 2A, and Grandview Christian in 1A. They also released the Area Super 10 Girls Rankings. City High is number 1, followed by Iowa City West, Marion, CPU, and North Lynn in the top 5. Cascade, Springville, Cedar Rapids, Prairie, and Xavier, and Iowa City Regina round out the top 10. Tonight after the show, we don't have any high school basketball, there's no NFL football, so we're going to throw things to Bristol, and you can have a night with the programming from ESPN headquarters.
Say a slow news day, to put it mildly. We've got to hang our hat on the high school boys and girls basketball rankings. But it's no man's land.
It is what it is.
Finals week at Iowa and Iowa State. We're going to talk with Gary Big Baller Rima coming up next.
Napa Know How.
Screwdrivers are like socks. Somehow the one you need is always missing. Lucky for you, Napa has a 26-piece screwdriver set on sale for just $19.99. Get it to replace lost tools or upgrade your current set for your neighbor to borrow and never return. Again, 26 screwdrivers for just $19.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 12/31/17.
I'm back. That little voice inside your head. Wouldn't it be great to get all your clients' gifts mailed out and save money? Well, right now, it's buy two, get one free on Office Depot Office Max branded mailing and shipping supplies. Plus 30% off all FedEx services, even international shipping. Just see an Office Depot Office Max associate for your 30% off coupon. A gift for them, a gift for you.
Taking care of business.
Offer ends 12/16. Valid in store only. See coupon for details.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. We have Major League Baseball's winter meetings. We have owners' meetings in the NFL all going down. And we have a Pro Bowl quarterback, All-Pro quarterback, getting set to return. That's your Wednesday around the sports world. Today, the Miami Marlins send off another. They trade outfielder Marcelo Zuna to the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals sending back one of their top pitching prospects in return, he tried to say. Also, Miami, according to ESPN's Jerry Krasnick, has announced they are not going to be trading outfielder Christian Yelich at all. He's going to be the one that they build around. Meanwhile, the NFL meetings that are taking place in Texas, one of the stories that Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen had previously reported on the NFL is confirmed. When Roger Goodell's new contract, the one that he just signed, when that expires at the end of the 2023 season, which is April of 2024, that's it. Roger Goodell will be done as the commissioner. Now, regarding that contract extension, Jerry Jones and Arthur Blank ran into one another in the hallway. Very brief conversation. We good? Yup, that's kind of how that went, according to ESPN's Jim Trotter. Aaron Rodgers, medically cleared to play on Sunday.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
All right, welcome to F-150 Radio. Today, the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar. Why? Eugene, go.
I think because Ford engineers always add new stuff, so the competition can't catch up.
Whoa, Eugene sounds like an expert.
Well, I got a store that sells exclusively bar-raising merchandise, like a calendar with an extra month.
An extra month?
Extrebuary. It has 32 days.
So you can appreciate the new 2018 F-150 raising the bar with available Bliss with trailer coverage. It monitors your trucks and your trailer's blind spots.
How about our new bar-raising poker chips? You can play with them or eat them. So,
The new 2018 F-150 raises the bar with auto start stop, standard on all engines, and an available 10-speed transmission.
We have sandals with available built-in socks.
And we are out of time.
Huge in Oregon.
This is the new 2018 Ford F-150. It doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar.
Driver assist features like Bliss are supplemental and do not replace the driver's attention, judgment, and the need to control the vehicle.
Napa know-how.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards Program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
4:35, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you to 7 o'clock tonight. Don't forget, still got those tickets to the MMA fights coming up at the U.S. Cellular Center later this month. We're going to give those away sometime before 7 o'clock as well. And it's Wednesday already, and we have successfully navigated to the halfway point of what is one of my least favorite weeks of the year, because with finals going on and that big break, there's not a whole lot of basketball to talk about, and there's not much going on. Football season, unfortunately, is over at UNI's level. But We're going to have him on with us anyway. We'll see where this goes and what subjects we could possibly get to. But I know our Panther fans out there listening will enjoy hearing from Gary Rima this week. And the play-by-play voice of the Panthers is with us. And Gary, let's go and talk about the basketball that we can talk about. And that was last week's game against UT Arlington. It actually lived up to the billing and turned out to be a pretty good game. I know it got overshadowed by Iowa State at Hilton Coliseum that night, but people that weren't paying attention missed out on a pretty good game at the McLeod Center.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Some of the college basketball writers that cover college basketball all across the state said that two of the best games in the country last Thursday was the UNI Panther game hosting UT Arlington and the Iowa State game. So pretty cool that the spotlight on the state of Iowa and college basketball. That was a really good UT Arlington team that the Panthers beat last week. A team that starts five seniors, guys, and it's not that often in college basketball. You see a starting lineup with all seniors, and then they bring three seniors off the bench. So that was a deep team. A couple of seven-footers on that team. A team that won 27 games a year ago, just missed being an NCAA tournament team and won a game in the NIT. They feel like they're an NCAA tournament caliber team again this year with all those veterans back. But Panthers did it with their defense again, guys. They hold them to 58 points. A team that wants to score 80 to 85 points per game was playing some really good basketball coming in. And, you know, the Panthers remain unbeaten at home. They had the lopsided win over Dubuque on Sunday. So pretty good week of basketball for this Panther ball club to pick up a couple of wins, now get into finals week, and then get ready for the big in-state matchup this Saturday at the Wells Fargo Arena. But another impressive win. The Panthers didn't play great offense in that win over UT Arlington. Scored 62 points, but I tell you what, their defense just did an excellent job on a really good offensive team. There's one kid, this Hervey kid with UT Arlington, guys. He's an NBA prospect, no doubt. I mean, he's 6'9". He's got the body. He's got the ability to score at all three levels. They had an excellent senior point guard that was leading the nation in assists. So that was an impressive win over UT Arlington, even though maybe that name doesn't carry the same weight as a North Carolina State or a UNLV or an SMU. Keep your eye on that UT Arlington team when we get to the end of the season and see if they aren't in the NCAA tournament.
Gary, you said that UNI's offense, it wasn't great against UT Arlington, but somebody who was great was Clint Carlson. 24 points, 6 of 8 from beyond the arc. Was this his best game of the season, and how encouraging is it to now see him playing his best basketball of the season heading into the last two games of the non-conference and then into the conference season?
Yeah, no doubt his best game of the season. His best game offensively in a couple of years. I mean, he stroked the three-point shot finally, got it to go. He went into the game about a 30% three-point shooter, hadn't really shot the outside shot very well. If you remember the game before against UNLV, he had a 23-point performance, but pretty much all of those points came in the lane area. Well, he did a great job to show the opponent that you're going to have to guard me at the arc too, and hitting those threes was huge. If Clint continues to play that way offensively, that's just a little bit of a missing piece that this team has needed out of him, not only last year, but they're going to need this year too. So career-high points for him. He had a career-high against UNLV with 23. He broke that against UT Arlington, a great team getting 24, and it was fun to see him hit that three-point shot because his confidence now is back where it should be as far as at the offensive end. He was always getting done at the defensive end where he was supposed to be, rebounding the basketball. He was getting all that done. It just that he was lacking a little bit on his scoring output. And you know, one of the two seniors in the starting lineup, we need him to be a double-digit point guy every game for the most part. And it looks like that's what we're going to get out of Clint now the rest of the way.
UNI play-by-play broadcaster Gary Rima joining us as he does every Wednesday here on the program. Panthers will be back in action, as Gary mentioned, Saturday at Wells Fargo Arena in downtown Des Moines. The draw for UNI this year is Iowa State. And What are your thoughts of the Cyclones so far? I don't know how much you've gotten a chance to watch Steve Prohm's team, but they got out of the gate a little rough and have been successful ever since then.
Well, as you expect, I think he's a great coach, and once they struggled early, they made some adjustments, and they got the train back on the track now, if you will, Todd. When they moved Nick Weiler-Babb to the point guard spot, this team really started to come together. You know, they've won seven in a row. They're playing some really good basketball. This is a team that really shoots the three-point shot well, is what I've noticed. They've got three guys in their starting lineup that shoot the three at a 41, 41, and 48% percentage, which is anytime you're up over 38 or 39% from the arc, that's really good. And you're going to let those guys shoot the three. So that's been impressive how well they do shoot it from beyond the three-point arc. They've got some size inside, and when you've got a point guard that's 6'5" that can see over the defense and find open guys, that's going to be a really tough team to defend. But I like the Panthers' chances. I think the Panthers match up pretty good with them, and I think it's going to come down to whether the Panther defense can do a great job on this Iowa State offense. But Iowa State, they like to get it out and go. They like to play up-tempo. The Panthers like to slow it down a little bit, play a little bit more methodical, play the game in the half court instead of, an up-and-down game. So it'll be interesting to see which team can win that tempo battle come Saturday.
Gary, we chatted with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of Iowa State, earlier in the week, and he talked about you and I, not only defensively, which gets highlighted a lot, one of the best defensive teams in the country, but offensively, they want to slow you down and out-execute you. Why is this team able to control the pace of the game so well against some really, really good teams?
Well, first of all, Coach Jacobson spends more time in practice on defense than he does offense. And if you go to college basketball practices, you'll see it, I think, flip-flop just the other way with a lot of teams. You'll see teams that spend three quarters of the practice working on their offense, working on plays, working on shooting, working on the transition offense. Well, at UNI, they spend a ton of time at the defensive end of practice. So I think that's a big part of it. And I think Coach Jacobson's philosophy on the man-to-man team help defense, this group of guys are executing it to perfection. The Panthers do not play zone. They play man-to-man, even if they're undersized. They're matching up man-to-man, playing that help defense. And the other thing that's really been big for this team, guys, is they're rebounding the basketball like crazy. And teams, if you're giving teams second and third and fourth opportunities to score on a possession at their offensive end, it's pretty hard to outscore them. It's hard to control the tempo because they're scoring points, and then you've got to go down and try and answer. So at the defensive end, this team's been outstanding, and that's where they really focus. Offensively, they're a ball club that's got a lot of weapons. This team, there's nobody that you can leave open at the Panther offensive end, and they're running some really good stuff now offensively with the play of Bennett Cook inside. You've got to really be concerned about him, and if you're going to double down on him, it's going to leave somebody on the perimeter open. And, Juwan McLeod and Isaiah Brown, they've showed they can hit the three-point shot with Spencer Haldeman and Wyatt Lohaus coming off the bench, a couple of guys that I think will be sharpshooters for this team all year. You've got those weapons. So it's just been fun to see how Coach has brought this group together and found their strengths and has just really expanded on that just, 10 games into this season.
Gary, I know you and I share similar thoughts on the Hy-Vee Classic. I'd like to see Iowa and Iowa State go into the Knapp Center and the McLeod Center, and that ship has sailed. Has your opinion of this event changed at all? Has this grown on you? And what, if anything, do you think they could do to make this a better day of basketball? Because it's fun, but the atmosphere still lacks a little bit in Des Moines, in my opinion.
There's no doubt that I'm still of the thought that we need to bring these games back on campus. There's nothing like having Iowa or Iowa State in the McLeod Center. It's a great experience for our guys to have to play in those tough road arenas, Carver Hawkeye Arena, Hilton Coliseum, a lot of Iowa guys on our roster. It's just a neat deal where they would get to play on those courts on the road. But I am of the thought that, you know what, if this is what we're going to get, then we got to keep this thing going. I would hate to see the Big Four Classic go away. I think it is a cool thing for the state of Iowa to bring all four teams together. We have four Division I basketball teams, bring them all to one site. You can see all four teams in one day. I think financially it's working out pretty good for the teams. And the atmosphere actually has gotten better in recent years. It still has the feel of a postseason conference tournament setting where you have a number of fans in the arena who really they're not really pulling for either team. They're there waiting for their team to play, but you know, you got bodies in the seats and they might get into the game if it's a close game. Feels almost a little bit like an NCAA first or second round tournament game with the neutral site and a pretty full arena. But I do think the atmosphere has been better. I think the sponsors have done a good job of implementing some on-court games and making it interesting. I do think this year the two games are going to be as competitive as we've seen since this thing started. Usually there seems like there's going to be a little bit of a mismatch. Somebody's really, really good and somebody's down a little bit. But I think both games could be really competitive. But I do look forward to it. I enjoy it. I like the fact that we get to play Iowa State, and next year it's Iowa. But it still isn't anywhere near as good, as fun, as exciting as the old way when you and I hosted Iowa or Iowa State every other year and then got to go to the other place on the road that they didn't host. And I don't know if we'll ever get back to that. Maybe it won't ever happen, but I'm one of those that still holds out hope that someday the four ADs will get together and say, you know, this classic thing's run its course. Let's go back to playing on somebody's home court, get that great atmosphere, and help prepare these teams for what they're going to see in their conference season.
All right, let's get to the meat of this. How is it possible that the Cedar Valley Court Kings did not offer LiAngelo and LaMelo Ball contracts and those kids are going to Lithuania? Wouldn't that have been – why don't you reach out to LeVar Ball, Gary, and bring the whole Ball circus to Cedar Falls?
Yeah, the last thing I wanted was him tweeting about me and our basketball team and getting into a – no, we reached out to him. We did.
Permanent guest spot, permanent guest host on Press Row with Gary Rima and LeVar Ball.
Yeah, that I guess I could have offered him that too. He might have jumped at that. I don't know, but that he might have thought that was the cream of the crop to be able to do that right there. But that's just kind of a crazy deal, guys. I raised three sons, and they all were involved in athletics and played Division I sports and stuff. And I just never would have envisioned trying to handle my kids or work with them or do what he's doing, pulling them out of college, pulling them out of their high school team. It's a little crazy to me, but hey, it's his family, it's his kids. I guess he's going to do what he wants to do.
One last question before we let you go. It's the FCS semifinals this weekend in football, and a couple Missouri Valley Football Conference teams still alive. I think North Dakota State plays Sam Houston State on Friday, and then on Saturday it's South Dakota State and James Madison. Who do you like a couple weeks from now in Frisco? Who's going to wind up being the pairing?
Well, North Dakota State, they got a great draw. Sam Houston State is not real strong defensively, and I think North Dakota State will handle them at home Friday night in the Fargo Dome. I think the Bison are destined to get back to their sixth championship game in the last 7 years. They're really on a roll. South Dakota State has the tougher game in the semifinals this weekend. James Madison is the defending national champions, undefeated this year. They went wire to wire number one, the overall number one seed. They get the home game. Dallas Goddard, the All-American tight end for South Dakota State, got injured early on last Saturday in their lopsided win over New Hampshire. But I for some reason, I still think South Dakota State pulls off the upset. They've got an excellent team, great quarterback. Their defense is playing really good right now, and I think they match up pretty good with James Madison. So I really think it could be an all-MVFC championship game, but if it's not, it looks to me like it's going to be North Dakota State against James Madison, which would be a rematch of last year's semifinal game in Fargo, in which James Madison knocked off North Dakota State. So I tell you guys, North Dakota, I like where North Dakota State sits, because if they win, and I think they do on Friday night, they go to the championship game and they face either the team that beat them last year in the semifinals, so they'll have that whole revenge factor and want to, you know, take care of business. Or if South Dakota State wins, they face the only team that beat them this year in the regular season. Jackrabbits took care of them this year in Brookings. So I like where North Dakota State sits moving forward to win it all this year in FCS football.
I think I've still got Steve Alford's number somewhere. I'm sure he can put you in touch with LeVar. I'll reach out to him for you. Gary, appreciate it as always. Have a great call on Saturday at Wells Fargo Arena, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, guys.
35-30 on the text line was keeping track of the guys count, and he says we got to 7 in that one. It's not something that we try to get him to say on purpose. It's just... it's a rhyme-ism, and don't think he liked the idea of sharing the airwaves with LeVar Ball. Could have been.
Could you imagine?
Could have been a great draw at the Cedar Valley Sportsplex.
I'd pay money to listen to that show.
A lot of those Big Baller Brand Court Kings T-shirts, and I'm still. I got to get in on this Duke or something from the Big Baller Brand for Christmas.
The Jordan Brand has the little outline of Jordan logo on it. Will Big Baller Brand have a LeVar Ball logo that goes on every uniform?
Just a picture of LeVar's face, I think, at this point. How do you want to, we do a gift exchange every year here at KGYM among just the sports staff. It has nothing to do with the White Elephant gift exchange that we do with the rest of our coworkers. And it was thrown around in the office earlier today. Do we buy small gifts for everybody, or should we draw names and buy one nice gift for one individual coworker? 319-366-1600. Help me solve this dilemma on the Hertine and Stocker text line. Small gifts for everybody, or one nice gift for one coworker for the KGYM gift exchange this year?
Or we can just do one small gift for one
coworker. Find out what size T-shirt everybody wears, and you're getting one from the Court Kings.
Is there a gift shop that you can...
I think you can probably buy. You can probably buy online. Gary's probably got a spare bedroom at home just stacked with T-shirts and pint glasses and all of the other great items that you can use to celebrate the back-to-back indoor basketball, whatever league champion. They've won it 2 years in a row, right? Guys?
Yes.
Anybody? 319-366-1600. I know. Every time I look over there, you've got this glassy look on your face like there's some breaking news from the winter meetings.
No.
Things are dying down. I don't necessarily know. Theo Epstein said he thinks the Cubs are done, and then says, but that can change with one phone call. I love that. Yeah, we're done. But if the phone rings, I'll believe it when I see it. Tomorrow, the winter meetings wrap up with the Rule 5 draft, and then it's hunkering in, counting down the days until spring training rolls around. We're not going to be talking baseball, though, in the next segment. I'm going to turn our attention to the NFL. I'll tell you what.
Did you just start to yawn as you said that?
Yeah, you caught me. I did. It's all that meat.
No,
you think it's a great diet? It's no meat. Lots of yawning. I need to go grab another energy shot. 4:54. I started the day off with coffee and the espresso and the energy shots, and I don't know. I think it's reverse effect at this point. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. I promise I will stifle all yawns before opening my mouth, and we'll see if we can get to 7 o'clock together and awake. Back with more after this.
Back in 1947, when young Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, he could pick up a pound of coffee for just 33 cents. Prices have changed a bit since then, so now, 7 decades later, $70 would be a very nice windfall, and $700 would be absolutely spectacular. So in honor of Hertine and Stocker's 70th anniversary, you can register right now to win one of 70 $70 gift certificates Hertine and Stocker is giving away. Drawings continue through December 18th. And on that final day, one person's name will be drawn to win the grand prize of a $700 gift certificate for their store. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and register for your chance to win. And be sure to wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Welcome back in the Todd Rommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, with you until 7 o'clock tonight. All three KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM. Then on the FM side, we've got 107.5 in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 in Iowa City. Taking a break for the rest of the year with the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. But as we hinted at yesterday on the program, some big news with regard to that coming up in the month of January. Here's Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa's Josie Jewell and Josh Jackson cemented themselves today as maybe the best defensive duo to come through the University of Iowa. The American Football Coaches Association named them first-team All-Americans, making it a clean sweep across all five major outlets and making them both unanimous All-Americans. They're Iowa's first pair of unanimous All-Americans since Chuck Long and Larry Station in 1985, and the Hawkeyes have actually now produced four in the last 4 years, including Desmond King and Brandon Scherf. Former Iowa State point guard Monte Morris made his NBA debut last night with his mother in attendance in his home state of Michigan, playing in Detroit. He made one assist with no turnovers in his 3 minutes, but today was sent back to the Rio Grande Valley Vipers of the G League. The Gazette released its second poll of the boys' high school basketball season. Iowa City West is the top-ranked team in Class 4A, with Cedar Rapids Prairie 6th. Cedar Rapids Xavier is number 1 in Class 3A, Western Christian in 2A, and Grandview Christian in 1A. They also released the Area Super 10 Girls Rankings. City High is number 1, followed by Iowa City West, Marion, CPU, and North Lynn in the top 5. Cascade, Springville, Cedar Rapids Prairie, and Xavier, and Iowa City Regina round out the top 10. Tonight after the show, we're throwing things to Bristol, and you can have a night with the programming from the ESPN headquarters.
Catch the excitement of finals week here in Eastern Iowa when there's no Hawkeye or Cyclone basketball to talk about. We are going to
at least we don't have finals. Whew. That's something I don't miss.
And news for those parents out there who can't resist showing pictures of your child to anyone and everyone. I'm not that type of father, but it doesn't mean I'm not proud of my son, but you may want to think twice before you show a stranger a photo of your child. We'll have a very intriguing story
coming up at 5.
Coming up in hour number 2 at some point. But also, we're going to shift the discussion to the NFL. Roger Goodell says today at the end of his 5-year contract, he's done. That's it. He's going to retire. What's the NFL going to look like in 5 years? At the end of Roger Goodell's tenure. 319-366-1600.